Long story short, that retail investor may be paying a higher price because inside of these dark pools, it may be trading for, you know, 5-10% less than you see on TV, right?
It sounds and looks on the surface, it looks dirty.
Right. Right. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got me, your boy, Diamond Hands D, and we have a very, very special guest this week, a man of many talents, a man of many titles. You know, I don't even know if I know them all. He is our co-founder, vice president, COO, financial advisor extraordinaire, my good friend, Tony Zabagala. Tony, how you doing, man?
How you doing, D? How you doing, man?
Good. Good to have you aboard, man.
Yeah, thanks.
So, you know, we're going to do a little bit different this week. You know, Mark and I, we are obviously committed to getting out really what we think is good content every week. So we have a lot of smart people that work here. So we wanted to try to, you know, filter them all through, get different perspectives on things. And obviously we wanted to start at the top. So we got Tony on the show this week. So yeah, we'll be doing that from time to time, you know, it'll still be Mark and I primarily, but got a lot of opinions, a lot of people on staff who have a lot of great thoughts, honestly. We ping them before we do these shows. So we're just going to start having them on to get a little different perspective from week to week. So yeah. So Tony, how you doing, man?
Good. You're right, man. It's a lot of, I do wear a lot of hats around here, so I can go in a lot of different directions. And when I was asked to do the podcast, I you know, picked up my pen. I started doing some quick research, and I'm excited about today's topic.
Awesome. Yeah, it is a really good topic, actually. One topic that I frankly didn't know a ton about until we started, you know, talking and researching it. But it's actually a pretty big issue that I never really hear talked about much at all.
Yeah. It's starting to come up, you know, as this retail investor is rising and interest and their voice is being heard, probably not since the dot-com era. You know, that was the last time I can remember, maybe the first time the retail investor really came out of the woodwork.
Right.
My fear is that a lot of those retail investors got smacked down because it was, you know, the dot-com, you know, you can't just invest money into something with dot-com at the end that makes no money,
right?
You know, so I'm concerned about that this time. And but there was no Twitter. There was, you know, not even Facebook. It was before Facebook. What did they call the
MySpace.
MySpace was an infant at that time. So, but you know what we're going to be talking about is, you know, dark pool trading, and again, it's I can see why the retail investor would be scared of such things. So, D, why don't you kind of did some like introductory research on this? Why don't you explain what the dark pool is?
Yep. It's it sounds like a, you know, a dark and sinister topic, right? The dark pool and the dark pool trading and things like that. But you know, it should be explained because it is a big deal. And I think, you know, whether you're working with an advisor or you're doing trading on your own, you should know that it exists, and you should kind of know how to navigate it and understand it. So I'll try my best here to kind of set up the topic and explain what the dark pool is and what dark pool trading is. So here I go. So, you know, basically, let's take a look at an example where person A, or probably a manager of a large mutual fund, or we'll use a pension in this example.
Well, let me just start with if you Google it, like the definition of it.
All right.
Because it sounds even darker. It's a private exchange for trading securities.
Yep.
Right.
That allows you to basically trade in secret until after the trade has been completed, right?
Yeah, it sounds like where Elon Musk trades his Dogecoin.
Oh, Elon Musk is not trading that. He's just buying.
Oh, whatever
he's got
doing.
The diamond hands.
Whatever he's doing with that, I don't know.
Yep. So absolutely. So, you know, that is what the dark pool is, right? It's just an exchange, right? In any transaction, whether it's public, like on the U.S. stock exchange, or private, like these dark pools, it involves a buyer and a seller.
Yep.
All right. But in these dark pools, they're typically almost always very large institutional or hedge fund. So very large transactions.
Yeah. Hedge funds. You got the big boys from Wall Street, you know, Morgan Stanley, Chase, all them, they all belong to this. And one of, you know, as the chief compliance officer of the firm, one of the things I'm like, all right, like, okay, it says it's legal. Okay. Let's figure out what that actually means. And these pools are basically they're registered with the SEC.
Right.
So they're being watched, they're being monitored. And the best way I can describe it is that if a large institution has a large holding in, let's say, I'll just use Apple, for example, they own, I don't know, $500 million worth of Apple, and they just don't like Apple today and they want to get rid of it all.
Right.
They can't just dump it on Robinhood.
Yeah. Right.
Or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. They can't just dump it on the free market.
They're not pulling up their phone and, you know, placing that transaction on Robinhood. Right.
Right.
It's a big deal.
So I think what it is that it's a place where large, huge players can exchange, like, hey, I don't want to own all this Apple anymore. Is there anyone else out there looking to purchase this from me so that, you know, we don't upset the market?
Right. So, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. So, you know, let's explain why they exist, why these dark pools exist, because of what you just said. So, you know, if I want to sell $500 million worth of Apple stock all at once, right, and I put that through, you know, TD Ameritrade or whatever, to trade on the public exchange, you know, first off, everyone's going to see that,
right?
and they're going to wonder why that they're liquidating their position.
Right.
All right, that's probably less of a big deal if I do it, although I don't have $500 million worth of Apple stock. But if someone like Warren Buffett does it, right, that's going to send up panic through the market. There's a large number of shares already being trying to be sold out there. That's going to cause further selling, right? And it's going to cause
volatility. I think it's basically put in place to really prevent the panic selling or fear or whatever it may come from the retail investor, because
right.
they just may not understand. But there may be other big players that, like, hey, I'll take $100 million because I like the valuation. I do like it right now. I will. And they kind of, again, it's just for big, huge players. And I think that's where, you know, it gets this negative stigma, because the retail investor can't get involved.
Right, right. So let me keep going on that example, and then we can kind of go through the list of the pros and the cons, because yeah, you just hit on a big con there. But so, you know, basically person A or pension A has $500 million worth of Apple. So they go to, rather than put that through the public exchange, they're going to go through the dark pool. And basically all it is it's connecting people, connecting investors anonymously. So no one in these dark pools, no one knows who the buyer is and the seller is until after the fact. Okay. So you can
right,
just kind of
no
go
backdoor deals. This isn't, you know, like secret back room door, you know, no microphones and
right.
stuff. Like it's anonymous, right?
Yep. Actually, do you watch the show Billions?
Yeah.
It actually, I do remember this. It came up and I think it was like season 4. So I don't want to give any spoilers away or anything like that, but they talked about the dark trading pools. Basically the lead character, what's his name? Bobby Axelrod. It's a great show. It really is. But he wanted to exit out of some position. I don't even know why.
Right.
But it was, you know, some sort of drama, and he wanted to liquidate his position without sending off alarm bells to let everyone know what he was doing, basically. So he told his traders to not put it through the exchange, but to go through the dark pool algorithms, I think is exactly what he said.
Yep.
So no one knows who is making these transactions until after the fact. So seller A with the Apple stock wants to sell a big chunk of it. He finds that buyer in the dark pool. Buyer B buys the $500 million worth of Apple stock. And then since there is regulation, this is not illegal. After the fact, you know, person A and person B, or pension A and pension B, have to disclose what they bought and sold.
Right.
So the information does come to the public. It is just after the fact.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there could be fears of front running collusion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I would come in and say, like, the SEC is involved. You know, they come in and they look at things. They look at if they find something, a rock to turn over, they'll look at emails. They'll look at text messages. They will figure out, you know, was there collusion? So there is a sense of security there, but still, you can still say, hey, I'm going to do this tomorrow at 11, you know, and I say this out in the parking lot.
Right.
That's not recorded. Right. So I don't know. I do feel that it does. It sounds and looks on the surface. It looks dirty. Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, the name of it is the dark.
Exactly.
Pool.
You mentioned that up front. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, let's get back to those disadvantages, because there are some.
Yeah.
But what are the advantages? So obviously this is allowed. This isn't, you know, some sort of new phenomenon. It's been going on for a long time. There aren't, I wasn't able to find like official stats on this. There's just kind of estimates out there, but you know, scouring the internet, I'm pretty comfortable in saying it's about 20% of all transactions go through this way.
Yeah.
In the US market. So it's not like it's a small amount, and it's been going on for a while now. The advantages, what does it allow for? So, you know, I think we hit on the big one already. It allows these transactions to go through without causing huge price swings, right? So if I just wanted to dump a bunch of stock, you know, you have to be careful, because that can cause, you know, sell off in addition, right? But if that were to happen, if the price were to go down, it would hurt the pension A people, right? It would hurt the people in that pension who want to get as much value as they can for that Apple stock. If they do it through public exchange, they're going to get less for it. If they make it through that private exchange, those investors are going to get more for it. All right. Can, you know, eliminate a lot of the fees as well. It increases market efficiency too. I don't want to overlook that. It's getting the buyers and sellers together directly.
Yeah, exactly. You're, you know, like you said, if there's a set, like, hey, I want to sell these shares, and it's out in this private group of mega buyers, you know, mm-hmm. mega movers. If I did that in the exchange and you saw, you know, $500 million wanting to be traded all at once, it would just cause craziness.
Yep.
I think it's meant to protect, again, protect the retail investor.
It does.
From
for sure.
From panic selling, panic buying, whatever you want to call it. So I do see it. I do see it. It's just, I've never heard, you know, it, like you said, it's been around for a while. I think it's been around since the, you know, 80s and 90s.
Yep.
Like, it's not mm-hmm. new. So, but as people talk about it, and again, the rise of the retail investor, you know, over the last year and a half or so, they do want to know, they do want to understand, mm-hmm. and they want their share. They want to mm-hmm. be involved.
Right.
This one, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if they can get involved in this one, you know?
Yep. So, you know, I think what is going on, and, you know, it's the summertime, so there's not a lot of great topics out there, but this one has come up recently. Again, from that ape nation, right?
Yep.
We hear about it on, you've been on Charles Payne before. I saw you on there recently.
Right.
Mark is on there all the time. Some of the disadvantages, how does this hurt the little guy? Well, you know, I think the biggest thing that I see if a lot of this is going on, especially if it's going to a specific stock or security, then the public price that the people see out there. So, you know, if you turn on your TV and, you know, Apple's trading at whatever it is now, $180.
Let's just have a ABC stock selling at $100 a share, yep. Right? And retail investor buys it on Tuesday for $100 a share, but a big player comes in and says, I'm willing to unload this for $95 a share, and I also own 1 million shares, whatever that number is. And they come in on Wednesday and say, I'm willing to sell this at a 5% discount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the retail investor bought it for 5% premium the day before because it's going to, it's going to move the price, right?
Absolutely.
And the trade might not actually show up, or you'll notice the price is going down on good news or no news. Mm-hmm. What just happened?
Right.
And it could be something like this. So again, the transparency part, towards the retail investor is unfortunate and, you know, upsets a lot of people.
Yep, for sure. So, you know, long story short, that retail investor may be paying a higher price because inside of these dark pools, it may be trading for, you know, 5-10% less than you see on TV, right?
Right.
Or, you know, inside of your trading account. So, you know, transparency of information is obviously one of the big issues. I would say the second big issue is traders getting a hold of this information that may be in these dark pools and using that to their advantage and making trades off of that. So what do I mean by that? Well, you basically, if...
Are you saying like some type of like...
Like a front running move.
Front running. Go ahead. I just lost mine.
That's all right. So yeah. So if you get
this insider trading.
Insider trading.
That's what I'm thinking.
So, you know, I think this would be more in the front running arena because you're just getting information earlier than the public would be getting it. So if you're inside of these dark pools and you know that stock A is trading for, you know, a 10% discount to what the share price is right now, you can take that information and make trades off of it, right?
Yeah, you can buy, you know, calls and things like that, like get ahead of it knowing that, you know, somebody's paying a premium by puts, you know, and really expedite, you know, your gains and your losses, right?
Yeah, for sure. And then that kind of brings us back to the main point here. The guys and the girls inside of the Reddit forums, they don't have that information, right? There's no way to get that information, unless you can get inside of these dark pools. And I keep referring to them as dark pools. There are several private exchanges that are run by the big boys, for lack of a better term. So
yeah, and again, you know, like looking up on the Google machine, you know, there's like 60 of these private mm-hmm. exchanges.
Yeah,
so it's not like one or two. I mean, there's a lot of them, and they're all registered with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, regardless of how much they fight and bang on the door, I don't know if you can ever extract the information from there,
right?
You know, because it's been around for so long, it's now a new topic. It could be months, years before they have to disclose things, you know, who knows?
That's actually a very good point, because in that episode of Billions, the traders, they're making phone calls to the trade desks of these dark pools. Mm-hmm. So that's how they get the information. They're directly talking to the traders inside of the pool. And that is something that the average retail investor just can't do. You know, so they won't get that information.
Yep.
You basically have to be working for someone big to get into that club.
Yeah. And who makes phone calls to make trades anymore?
Exactly. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I think that kind of brings us to the conclusion here. You know, there's obviously clear benefits to doing things like this. What do you think, Tony? Do you think the benefits outweigh the negatives here for the little guy?
You know what? I do. I think the little guy, the retail investor, is an emotional investor for the most part,
right?
And I think it's here to help move big chunks of stock by not just dumping it on the free market, right? I think it's here to protect. Do we wish there's more transparency? Maybe we don't want to know what's going on back there, right? But sometimes you do wonder, like, hey, the stock's down on no news. What happened?
Right.
Like, why is that happening? And it's just these large chunks moving from place to place at maybe a discount or a premium of the current price. Does that hurt? Can that? Absolutely. I think it can definitely hurt the retail investor because, like I said, I bought my share on my share for $100 on a Tuesday. On Wednesday, it goes down by 3% for no reason. Like, everything I read has been positive. Why did it go down? Like, so, you know, and on Thursday now you're down 3%, 4%, whatever it might be. And you didn't even know it was coming, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think obviously,
what do you think?
this is in the news right now. But there is a place for it for sure. You know, it's kind of like the A Few Good Men speech by what's his name? Jack Nicholson. You know, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. You know, this does serve a purpose, right? No one wants to see shares of Apple and Microsoft and the other big staples in this country and this economy, you know, swinging up and down every day.
Yeah, I think like the retail investor is really bringing to the surface these, I know this isn't a secret society, but things that like we just never knew about.
Absolutely, man.
And I think that's good because it may help. You know, if it gets overturned and it does become more or public and things like that, so be it. But it existed for so long without us knowing it.
Right?
Do we really want to know? So
yeah, I think you said it perfectly there. So yeah, I'm gonna leave it there.
Yep.
There probably are some things that need to be worked out for sure. We want to get that information to everyone as soon as we can. But at the same time, you know, this kind of thing allows for better price stability for things that people like,
right?
You know, pensions, 401k plans, which are mutual fund based, you know, ETFs that everyone seems to love and trade. Those all exist because they can trade big chunks at a time efficiently.
Yep, exactly.
So, but yeah, definitely a very interesting topic. One that we'd like to, you know, hear from you guys about. So yeah, we'll wrap up today's show. You know, Tony is also a big barbecue guy. He's also a big wrestling guy. We've talked about both on the show. I haven't told him about this. So Tony, what's your favorite thing to make on the barbecue?
I make these things called dino eggs.
Yes, I've had those before.
Yeah, everyone seems to like them. But basically you hollow out a jalapeno. You fill it with a blend of cream cheese and mozzarella cheese inside the jalapeno. Then you take country sausage, like Bob Evans, like sausage, and you encase the jalapeno, throw it on the smoker. 2 hours later, you got a magnificent meal.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's so simple and it's so good.
Yep. What kind of smoker do you have?
I'm not a Boy Scout, so I have a Green Mountain, you know, similar to a Traeger. It's a pellet. You know, make sure it's full of pellets. Make sure you just monitor the temperature and go on with your day.
Yeah, that's nice.
You can just, you know, walk away from it for hours and I don't have to keep a fire going and things like that. So I know you're more of the Boy Scout. That's why your stuff tastes a little different than mine. I'm not going to say that it tastes better or worse, but it just has a different flavor. And what we're trying to accomplish with those. So, but yeah, thanks for asking. I love smoking. We got fantasy football coming up in a few weeks.
Yes, that is the other big thing I forgot to mention. The training camp starting up. That is always a great time of year.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. You know, as always, you make sure you drop a like on us. subscribe. You know, we would sincerely appreciate that. Those numbers have been climbing up. And you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, that's why we like to do this content every single week for you. So, you know, also leave us that 5-star rating and let us know you did that at info@swpconnect.com. And we'll send you out some cool swag here. I think we're on the verge of ordering some new stuff, so I'll have to check that out for next time. So once again, thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.